Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan Natives.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller with a second in a special series looking at some of the causes and effects of a study on alcoholism in Barrow. On the morning of Wednesday, January 23rd, the residents of Barrow were surprised to hear Paul Harvey say 72% of them are alcoholic, and they didn't appreciate it when the figure was repeated that evening on television.
And it does come somewhat of a shock to be watching the CBS Evening News one night and hear Walter Cronkite tell you you're drunks.
Are you?
Well, as I said, there is a major problem up here. No one's denying that. There's also a lot of good things happening up here, a lot of strong moves being made to deal with any number of problems facing the Inupiat today. And one of the problems with a report like this receiving national publicity is that it tends to get a lot bigger headlines than the good things that are happening.
Good things happened in Barrow at the same time the bad news was on the air. The next evening, about 300 people participated in the first town meeting ever in which the entire community came together to look at the alcohol problem.
Do we have a problem of alcohol abuse in our community? Do we? If you think we do, why don't you stand up? Okay? All right, I would say most of the people in this building right now are standing and saying, okay, we have a problem with alcohol abuse. Thank you. I would like to do something about it, and I hope you do too.
The town meeting began at 7:30 Thursday night. It didn't end until 3:30 Friday morning. In that time, the community learned it had a terrible alcohol problem, in a way it could trust, from friends and neighbors describing personal problems with alcohol abuse, and from a panel of community professionals who reported from their own statistics. They left until much later Friday morning, a critical discussion of the research.
The research paper seemed to be designed, and it was carried out in a very Western or a Western European type of culture and that kind of expectation. And it did not really apply to the culture here in this community. And there was a lot of concern with the accuracy of the report and how the questions were answered and how the statistics were arrived at. And this concern has come all the way through until this past Friday when we had this final critique session of the report, when people were still coming up with these same comments. You know, there's still a great deal of concern over how these figures were arrived at and how accurate they were and how much sensationalism was put into the report by the researchers, and this still needs to be clarified.
Carl Hild is chairman of the newly formed Interagency Council on Alcoholism. Before that, he was on a committee set up by the research project to make sure community concerns were relayed to the researchers. At that Friday critique session, he was one of many who had provided information and assistance to the researchers in hopes that something useful would emerge. They were very disappointed.
In terms of the methodology that you used, fine, okay, I mean, you came up with some numbers. I would have thought you would have had an obligation to come up and hold the town meeting, talk with the town about it, do all of that stuff, shock everybody, get everybody talking. But what you've done now is you've created a situation where there's a real dichotomy. Everybody's shocked, but they can't trust you guys.
Taking the heat for the research is Dr. Ed Volks of the University of Pennsylvania.
You know, right now, the community has done some very positive things.
Sure.
In a few very short days.
Sure.
The press and the world will never, ever know about that. All they're ever going to know about is your statistics. And they're misusing your statistics, and there's nothing even you can do to correct their misuse of the statistics. That's what I'm saying. This community has once again been betrayed by people who don't have any responsibility. You leave here, you get your fanny chewed out, but you leave here, it doesn't make any difference to you. You've already written your professional article on alcohol and the Inupiat people, and it's I'm sure it's being reviewed by the Journal of Alcohol and Addiction Studies or some other such thing, and it's going to be published, right? Am I right?
No, not so far.
I think that what you ought to do when you write your paper is write about how badly, you know, maybe about some of the lessons that other cross-cultural researchers can learn from your mistakes. You know, but well, I've talked to lots of researchers who say, well, I've made mistakes, but I've never talked to a researcher who was willing to admit it in print.
Well,
I think we're talking to some more of them who are unwilling.
I think
let me just respond to your comments. I think that the contents of the report, the statistics, are good. I feel confident in their validity. I think just in terms of what happens to this information, I'll tell you, I will not publish any of this if you don't want me to, even in esoteric journals. I can tell you just from my own standpoint that I personally stand ready, you know, to keep this between you and I, even though it's in the New York Times and everywhere else. And certainly my intent is to be helpful, and it's not worked out that way up until now in certain ways. I think the press is damaging, and that's something that I feel is a very unfortunate happening. But you know, I just wanted to let you know that.
You've heard some people today argue the figures, the basis, some of the survey methodology. Having heard this now, how do you receive that criticism? Is some of it something would you have done something differently?
Well, any comprehensive studies of this nature are flawed in certain ways, and certainly this one is not without flaw. However, I would point out that our figures are very much in concordance with general everyday experience of people living in Barrow, that the deaths due to suicide and homicide and accidents that are alcohol-related are undeniable. The degree of public drunkenness is undeniable. Our figures are not out of line with sort of the blood and guts of what is obvious in this situation, and I feel that our study is valid to that degree.
How about the sensitivity of it? People were saying it was inflammatory, that it was derogatory. Do you think it lacked sensitivity?
Well, in retrospect, it lacked sensitivity because the people reacted to the report in that way. It certainly was nothing that any of the researchers intended. In fact, we were contracted by the borough to give them this information. It was not as if we had a government grant and we came into this town with our own ideas to test our own hypotheses on these people and then simply label them. We were asked for this information. We measured it and we gave it to them, and the rates are de facto derogatory to the people, and perhaps the kind of coverage in the mass media that it's had has brought undue attention onto these people, and their sensitivities are thus offended.
Right from the very beginning, it appeared to me that the research was sloppy. Usual research papers have the great beginning part, and the longest part is definitions of terms, definitions of how they're going to do the research, exactly how they're going to ask questions, and so forth. And it's the dull part. You know, you want to look for the results part, but you have to go through the dull part in order to see that the exciting part, the results part, is warranted.
By the weekend, copies of the research summary report had circulated, and I went around town to gather some reactions. Ross Dixon is president of Inupiat University in Barrow. He gives an example of what he meant by sloppy.
One of the tests used was the drawing of a man, and it made a good deal of noise about some Eskimos, when they drew a man, drew a white man, and some Eskimos, when they drew a man, drew an Eskimo person. Well, we don't know whether there were white persons and Eskimo persons asking different Eskimos to draw men, or whether it was all white people asking Eskimos to draw men, or all Eskimos asking Eskimos to draw men. They just don't point these things out at all.
That would make a difference. If a white person asked you to draw a person, you might draw a white person. If an Eskimo asked you to draw a person, you might draw an Eskimo person.
Absolutely correct. And all the way along the line, they seem to be mixing apples and oranges, and we don't know whether they're counting them all as fruit or whether there are apples in one hand and oranges on the other.
First of all, my name is Patsy Amott. I'm a resident of Barrow. I was born and raised here. And the report that I have been looking at for the past week or so has been one report that I would like to get rid of permanently and not have it available for anyone because, for one thing, I think it's very derogatory and very damaging to the image of the Inupiaq people. I think the problem with this report is that, for one thing, there's no cross-referencing of any of the data that has been collected.
Patsy Amott has a master's degree in public school administration. She's read many a research paper in her career, and she zeroes in on problems with the test used to determine that much publicized figure of 72% possibly alcoholic.
It's called the Michigan Alcoholism Screening Test. And what the research team did, from what I can gather, is that they gave this one test, and based on this one test, and they determined whether a person was alcoholic or not. And to top it all off, the interpreter that they were using was a public safety officer, and I think that was another mistake that was made on the part of the research team. I think the problem there was having a public safety officer in a police officer's uniform come into your home and question you about alcoholism. I think that's very, I don't think that's very good tactics at all.
One of the tests they used was the Michigan, so-called Michigan, sobriety test or whatever. And that itself is an instrument that is geared to Caucasian males. And even that being used only among Caucasian males is got to be backed up by other tests.
What the study says is that according to the scoring on the MAS test, 45% of the 88 Inupiaq questioned fall in the definitely alcoholic range. Another 27% scored in the suggestive range. And what the researchers appear to have done is add the two together and extend that to mean 72% of the entire community of 2,700 is possibly alcoholic. The first thing to point out is that although whites account for 5 to 10% of the population and could perhaps drink 5 to 10% of the alcohol, no whites were tested.
While it could be debatable whether or not we should have investigated the non-native portion of the community as far as its drinking is concerned, definitely there is no report that can stand as true that doesn't at least investigate the impact of the non-native community on what had basically been a native town up till a few years ago. We are a community. We all interact and we all affect each other, and to single out one portion of it as though it were standing in an isolated little group and do a study that in no way admitted to the outside influences, it's just ludicrous. You're probably missing half the boat. The changes occurred when the outside influences started, and then you do a study that doesn't admit them.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that point, because the study relates the problem with alcohol as coming in with the oil development and with the pouring in of cash to the North Slope Borough. They put the finger very definitely on those two things as a cause of the alcohol problem.
Well, two things there. Number one, the study was done in Barrow. It was not done for the North Slope Borough. There's a large difference there. And number two, when I'm talking about the influence, I'm not talking in general terms, money came in, I'm talking very specifically about a demographic change we've seen in Barrow over the past 5 to 7 years, where the population, if you looked at just the figures, has remained basically static. What the figure does not tell you is that in these intervening years, two villages that had been basically abandoned prior to the Land Claim Settlement Act have been repopulated. The repopulation, for the most part, came out of Barrow, so you had a large contingent of Inupiaq moving out to these villages, and their places were taken, for the most part, by non-natives. So when I'm talking about outside influence, I'm talking very specifically about the social interactions within this community. Based on the fact that there is a much larger proportion of non-natives, much more integrated into the community.
Elise Pakatak is Director of Health for the North Slope Borough. In the next program, we'll see how the native and non-native parts of the community are working together, and we'll hear some different approaches to a solution. I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. Thank you.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller, and this is the final program in a series looking at a much-publicized research report on alcoholism in Barrow. The research was commissioned for the North Slope Borough by former Public Safety Director Kim Moeller. He was fired shortly after the paper was released.
The mayor made it clear that he felt that I had given the borough government and the people of the North Slope a black eye. That wasn't intention at all. But there was another intention behind it, and that's to literally kick people in the shins, both here and around the state, and say there's one hell of a problem here. Somebody better pay attention to it. And really didn't make any difference to me whether people got angry about it or not. If they're angry, at least something will get done. If they're not, nothing's going to get done.
And the consensus of the group was to keep the report to be released locally first. And once the local people had an opportunity to react to it, then it could be released nationally. The concern being that, the preference being that it not be released nationally, but if it's news, you can't stop that. But the concern being at least let the community of Barrow know what's going to happen and let them have an opportunity to get together after town meeting, discuss the issue, try to show that we're working at falling into some solutions to this issue, and not that, you know, we have a problem and we're ignoring it. We're not. I think the community is very much aware and is willing to admit that it does have an alcohol problem. And I think a lot of communities in this state are not even willing to admit that. At least Barrow is saying, okay, we do have a problem, but give us an opportunity to counter that with the proposals we'd like to come up with.
The positive action was to come out of a town meeting which was planned to coincide with the release of the research results. The meeting was a huge success. The town was confronted with the seriousness of the alcohol problem, as demonstrated by people from the community, quite apart from the research paper. And the second half of the 7-hour meeting was spent in taking recommendations from the floor. It's now up to Barrow's Interagency Coordinating Council on Alcohol to convert those suggestions and the options recommended in the research paper into programs. Carl Hild of the North Slope Borough Health Department is the Coordinating Council Chairman. Before the council was formed, there were two separate committees set up for the research project. One, a steering committee made up of community leaders and residents who could speak to native concerns, and the other, a technical advisory group of human service professionals.
Both groups agreed that they were only dealing with part of the community. The technical advisory group was mostly a non-native group of people, and they felt it wasn't proper to be discussing this issue without the native steering committee. And the native steering committee was saying the same thing, that they felt this was improper for them to discuss without the professionals who were mostly non-natives. So both groups agreed to come together and form one overall committee. When it was found out that this committee was to disband at the end of the research project, which would have been January 31st, both groups decided they would elect an executive committee to establish a long-term council to be concerned with the alcohol problem and to be an ongoing thing, so that once the research project was over with, that there would be some other continuity to the alcohol issue. They came together the latter part of December and agreed to form the Interagency Coordinating Council on Alcohol. And it would be a group that would be both community members who are agency representatives as well as community members who are non-agency representatives. The theme behind the whole thing is to be able to keep tabs on all alcohol-related projects in the community, to coordinate activities, and to ensure a unified program and approach to the alcohol issue.
Is that a direct result of the research paper?
In a sense, it is. These groups came together at the request of the people who were doing the research report. The community has been very aware that there's a major alcohol issue. There's been some underlying work that has been done in the past. And I think, you know, combining a number of different things that this group has grown, and that the research paper, you know, did assist in bringing this group together.
Did it, as some people who support the research paper and were instrumental in getting it done say that they needed the bombshell, you needed something explosive to get this community together? Is that fair to say?
My impression from talking to a number of people who were very much key to working with the paper felt that this was the only way to move this community. Anyone, I think, who has come to Barrow and worked with different groups up here find it's very difficult to hold meetings. That's because it's not part of the traditional culture to come together at specific times to talk about specific subjects. If they come up in conversation and something is done with them, that's fine. But to plan ahead of time to do a particular task at a particular time is foreign to this culture. The hope of the researchers was to take this community and rub its nose in its problem and make it very clear that it is a severe problem in hopes to shake them up and that they would take some action. I think this was the primary intent of public safety when they initially requested this report, was that they are tired of dealing with the aftermath of the problem, so they want to put a stop to it, and the best way to do it is to make the community aware of the scale of the problem, and the only way they could do this was to do this report and shock the pants off of the community.
And that's pretty much what happened. Public Safety Director Kim Mueller was convinced that something drastic had to be done, and while his methods proved unacceptable to the borough government, in a roundabout way, they may have initiated some community action. Mueller says he was looking for a political solution, and he was fired for political reasons.
There needed to be a scapegoat, and I was it, and I can understand that in a political sense. The danger is that now, instead of building enough emphasis and shock and surprise and power behind meeting the problem head on, what's likely to happen now is that the emphasis behind it will begin to fade. Standard programs from Anchorage, Fairbanks in terms of treatment at the wrong end of the scale will be initiated, and it'll be a lot like having a very fancy tricycle meeting a bulldozer head on.
What kind of program are you suggesting, or would have suggested as an alternative to the programs that are being practiced elsewhere that may not be applicable to Barrow?
Well, it has to be a locally controlled program. It has to be a locally designed program, and it has to be on a massive scale, not on a small scale, not the kind of program that says, gee, we're going to rush out and hire six counselors to counsel these 510 people that have drinking problems. We're going to put $400,000 into treatment, $20,000 into public education, and two or $3,000 into prevention. It has to be quite the other way around.
For instance?
Well, I think the majority of the effort has to be at the prevention point, not at the treatment point. Treatment point's the wrong end of the spectrum to look at and deal with. The reason why it is that even if you succeed at the best rate the rest of the programs in the state do, 20-30%, it shouldn't take any less than 150 or 200 years to get enough of those people you're dealing with caught up so you can start working on the other end of the spectrum. So the only thing you can do is start at the proper end of it in terms of prevention. And there are no programs in existence in terms of massive prevention that occur in a whole community. And essentially what they have to do is treat the entire community as if it's one single person. If the programs come up here and they treat the community on a set up their offices and their counselors and advertise on TV and say, here we are waiting to help you come in and see us, it ain't worth the tinker's dam. And it's not going to work. To start with, it's not going to work because the magnitude of the problem is so big that it couldn't possibly have any effect on it. So it has to be not a reactive program to the problem, but an active one out front to the entire community on a massive scale.
What are you talking about then for prevention? You're putting a bubble around Barrow and saying absolutely no alcohol comes in any way, shape, or form? That really hasn't worked.
I would say that there has to be mechanisms approved or allowed by the state legislature and the governor's office and the attorney general's office to, for instance, on the scale of things, I'd say that the first thing that has to happen is reduce the supply coming into Barrow by half. And the methods for doing it, the legislature can think up, the borough assembly can legislate if they have the power for local control and cut that supply coming in half. That's not total prohibition. It's not that difficult to do if there was enough power behind it to do it and emphasis and momentum. and it should be done, but I'm convinced that it will not be done because of the size and the shape and where the programs may go now with some of the government people in the borough attempting to sort of slide the blanket back over it again and say, you know, this is a terrible problem. We just should not let anybody outside know about it. We'll take care of it ourselves and slide that blanket back over. And if the people in Barrow and the North Slope delude themselves into believing that they can take care of it themselves, they don't have a chance.
It's their town.
Yeah, that's right. The effort that I made was to, I suppose, kick in both directions at the same time. I wanted to kick the people of the North Slope in the shins to get their attention so that they know what size of problem they have and how bad it really is collectively. And I wanted to kick the state in the shins to say they're responsible for doing something.
Mueller was fed up with Band-Aid solutions, which he said covered up the problem instead of curing it. He doesn't think a piecemeal attack is going to work. On the other hand, Carl Hild and the Interagency Coordinating Council are looking at small-scale, one-on-one sorts of solutions, hoping that small successes will build into larger ones. He recaps some of the recommendations offered at yet another meeting in Barrow, this one the day after the town meeting.
The number of suggestions came out of the meeting on Friday afternoon, and from all different areas, some saying, well, all we need is some people in this town who are willing to commit some time. There was several people who suggested that we need more community support groups, and several people recommended that the church should be actively involved in discussing this issue and bringing people to the realization that they can live without alcohol. There was one young lady who is currently working for the church who's running youth programs, and she made a beautiful statement, in my opinion, when she said that she's up here only as a temporary type of position to help out where she can with the Presbyterian Church. She has been having youth groups and young people to come over after school and on weekends to just get together to talk and have a good time and sing, and she cannot get over the response. The young people in this town are so eager to be able to attend a program of this kind, and she said, but why are they doing it for me? I'm just going to be up here for a short time. I'm a non-native. I'm from California, and there should be someone from this town who can do the exact same thing. And I think she has an excellent point here that so many non-native people have come into this community with ideas for programs and ideas for changing the social structure of Barrow, and nothing has really happened because as soon as they leave, the program falls apart. There's nothing there. And that the people of Barrow are the ones who are going to have to man these programs and make sure that they're ongoing. One of the people who spoke at the town meeting on Thursday night volunteered his services to assist with this young lady and developing this youth group. So I'm hoping that as an outgrowth of the town meeting and the meeting on Friday, that these people have come together, they realize that there's a problem, and now are going to try to do something constructive about it. So, you know, with this as a start, I think it's an excellent way of getting more community members involved in solving their own problem. And that's the key of this whole issue, is not to have the outside people coming up to solve the problem, but to solve it from within the community.
The two approaches to the problem discussed here don't have to be mutually exclusive. The problem in Barrow and around the state is so great that it probably makes sense to mobilize all resources. In 6 months or a year from now, Barrow hopes to be able to show the world that it has the situation under control. I'm Paula Schiller. You've been listening to Chinook, a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska, in Fairbanks.